answer when he calls for me. I will hear when the Savior calls. I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere
listening for my name.
Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere
listening for my name.
Yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Let the church say, amen. I'll be somewhere. I don't know where I'll be, but I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls my name, I'll be ready. Won't you be ready? Or will you be ready? Amen. Will you be ready? It's good to be here in the house of prayer this morning. And God is good. Thank you all for being here, especially those visiting with us. We want you to know truly you're most honored and welcome guests. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. But this is all about God. You all, this is all about God. God is the audience. You aren't the audience. God is the audience. We're here to give God our best praise, to say, Lord, thank you and good to us this morning. How many of you all brought your Bibles this morning? Amen. Amen. How many of you all love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you all want to praise the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, that's all we got. Let's go home. Yeah. So, yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Cecil. Thank you. Thank you. God is so good. God is good. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to just look at verses 16 through 18. Very short verses. You've read those verses before. But I just want you to... We come today, truly church, this is to say, God, thank you for being good to us and give God thanks in everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Anybody want to say thank you, Lord?
Amen.
Thank you. That's what worship is about, to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and began reading in the verses number 16 through 18. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, and Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in every situation. Amen. Give thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In every situation. I want to submit to us this morning, church, that we worship out of our experience. We really do. For every great why, there's a great how. And why do you come to worship on Sunday morning? Why do you really come to worship on Sunday morning? Why do you get up every week and come to the same place and sit in the same pew next to the same people, listen to the same preacher, go to the same Sunday school class every Sunday morning without fail? Why do you do that? Somebody said, because I love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, your worship, church, is born out of your experience. It really is. Tribulation, the Bible says, works patience, and patience character, and character hope. And that hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God, you all, is shared abroad in our hearts. The only way to properly worship, the only way to truly worship, is out of what you've been through this past week, this past month, this past year. Brethren, you can tell somebody else's testimony, but it's not your testimony. You can preach somebody else's sermon, but it's not your sermon. And you can pretend to carry on like you see somebody else carrying on Sunday morning. But if it's not born out of your experience, brethren, it's false and it's fake and it's phony, church, and it's untrue. But when God, brethren, has been real good to you, huh? And when God has brought you out, and your worship takes on a different kind of flavor. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about, brethren? It takes a different kind of turn. It's no longer just repetition. It's no longer just routine. It's no longer, brethren, just showing up. Just now that you know why, you get excited about how. I know why I worship, church, but Paul teaches us how to worship. Paul says, rejoice always. Always rejoice. Always be excited. Always be enthusiastic. Always rejoice. Always be full of joy. Paul says, pray without ceasing. In everything, brethren, not for everything, but in everything. Am I right about it? Give thanks. I'm not grateful, church, for my headache, but I'm thankful. Amen. In the midst of my situation, I'm not grateful for the storm that I'm in, brethren, but I praise God in the midst of my storm, church. And this group of three exaltations, Paul gives us these habits that characterize the Christian relationship with God. And the first of those characteristics is praise. That's verse 16. Verse 16 leads us into praise, brethren. He says, rejoice always. This is what Paul was telling these Christians at Thessalonica, brethren. Perhaps they were a little down. And see, every day is not a sunshiny day. Am I right? Brethren, thank God we haven't gone through some of the stuff that some of the people been going through and through the flood, brethren. But God's been good to us. But he says, be thankful in everything, not for everything, but in everything. So he says, pray. He says, rejoice always. The apostle, brethren, never encourages the believers to deny that adversity brings sadness. Adversity brings grief. In Romans chapter 12 and the verse 15 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, brethren, but to recognize in the midst of the most agonizing situations, the presence of God through his Spirit, church, can infuse the soul with hope. Am I right? In the heart with joy and not happiness, church, but joy, because happiness is contingent upon what's happening. But joy is in spite of what's happening. Come on, brethren, you gotta understand that. It's in spite of what's happening, I can have some joy. Man, you may notice about some people that are not always smiling and they're not always jumping up and down and church, they're not always floating on air, because everyone doesn't have that personality of being bubbly. That's not everyone's personality. And to look like that, you would think that the people are coarse and they're cold and but life has a very way of tempering life. Sometimes, brethren, because I know you all, praise Jesus, I know many of you all are not bubbly. Amen. I know that about you all, and it's good that I know that about you all. It's good. But because I come from a place that I know how good God's been to me. Amen. I know how good he's been to my family, brethren. And so when I come to worship, brethren, I can't wait to worship. I can't wait to smile. But I know, brethren, I know it's countercultural too, you know. You've been raised up not to get happy about anything. You just kind of hold that inside, you know. Because if you get happy, somebody may think you a holy roly or something. Amen, church. I can talk to us because y'all are family, brethren. Y'all are family. I know you all. We know you all. So you don't have to keep telling me, well, Don, this is kind of how we are. You don't have to keep telling me that, because I know that's how you are. But not all of you all are like that. Some of us are bubbly, aren't we, Manny? Some of us get excited, and that's okay, brethren. But you know what? But life has a way of tempering you. I like to bake a little bit. Every once in a while, Shell will tell you, I like to bake. I like to try different things. I'm pretty good at baking cakes. I'm pretty good at baking cakes. If I say so myself, you know, 3/4 water and 3 eggs and some oil. Yeah, back then we called it grease. Praise Jesus. And you mix it, and I'm pretty good, and it turns out pretty good. But I've learned that the important thing is it's all about the fire. It's all about the bake. You can't bake it on 350. It tells you 350. Don't bake it on 350 with the time they give you. That cake would be so dry. Amen? You got to bake it on 343. Come on, y'all. Come on. Yeah. And you don't bake it for 26 minutes. You bake it for 22 minutes. And you set your timer. And then you go and you test it with the toothpick. And yeah, if it comes out clean, you're ready to take it out. But am I right about it? Yeah, well, I know a little bit about bacon. I just want to let y'all know that. I know a little bit about bacon. But you know, but sometimes you have a mixture that requires eggs to be put in that mixture. And it's a warm mixture. And the eggs need to be put in slowly to temper the mixture, right? Or you scramble the eggs. I know we got some bakery. Am I right about it? Yeah, you scramble the eggs and you mess up the end results if you put it in too quickly. So you have to temper the eggs. You have to put a little bit of the warm mixture into the eggs to get it acclimated to the temperature of the mixture so that you're about to pour it into, because you don't want to put cold eggs into that mixture because you scramble the eggs in that hot mixture. Well, church, that's the way God deals with us as it relates to our joy. God mixes enough trouble with enough happiness and fills us with contentment and joy. And because we're not always jumping up and down, brethren, because maybe around the corner is something that we're not expecting. But if it comes, our faith has been tempered. Amen. Our joy has been made complete because we are not happy always, brethren, but we're always full of joy. I know that. Brother, I know that. I may not be happy all the time, but I'm always full of joy. Brothers and sisters, listen, happiness comes and goes, but joy shows itself in your facial expression. Joy shows in your handshake. I can tell when I shake your hand whether you got some joy or not, brethren. It shows in up when everything around you is falling apart and you still come to worship. Come on. Amen. You still hold your head up. You still give God your best hallelujah, brethren. It doesn't matter who's sitting next to you or what anybody thinks of you. If God has been good to you, your joy springs up, the scripture says, in the life. It springs up in the life, brethren. If you don't have real lasting joy, I seriously would question your commitment to the Lord Jesus, because nobody can come to Jesus and be saved and leave the same way you come, brethren. Nobody can do that if you know Jesus. There's something, brethren, about the name Jesus. There's something wonderful about that name that just Sunday morning gets me excited. Brother, I don't know about you all, but all last week was been kind of a lot of work and stuff going on and storms that happened to people. So through the week, you know, you may have gone through some things and you weren't excited to get to worship. But, you know, I don't know. But last night, I'm studying and I'm preparing. I'm thinking about you all and how do I deliver this message, Lord? It's your message, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me. But I wasn't excited, brethren. And I was like, Lord, I know this is just Satan, God. Thank you for using me that I can go and proclaim your word. And this morning I got up and I'm studying, I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord, this Paul says, rejoice always. See what the devil did? The devil was trying to get me, brethren, where I would not rejoice always to give you this lesson that says rejoice always. Now, how would y'all feel if I was up here like, rejoice always? Huh? Yeah. So I'm speaking this to myself. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm getting ready. Paul says, rejoice always. The psalmist, brethren, wrote in Psalm 119 and 139, and the psalmist says, my zeal has consumed me. When you really give God your best praise, brethren, it wears you out. I'm tired after I get through praising God because I come to give God my best hallelujah. I want to leave it all on the field, church, when I leave here. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus, singing and praising. Thank you, Pat, for those songs. And with my walking and my talking and with my mind stayed on Jesus, brethren. I don't come to worship to spectate, church, because worship is not a spectator sport. I come to worship to participate, brethren, to give God my best smile. Amen. To give God my best hallelujah. To open my mouth, because this may be the last time I get an opportunity to do that. Yeah? Yeah. So Paul says, rejoice always. That's the first exaltation in this trilogy of exaltations. And the second, brethren, is in verse 17, where Paul says, pray without ceasing. The first is rejoice always and giving thanks and praise in every situation. Every situation, give thanks. Secondly, giving thanks in every situation, there should be prayer. Huh? Pray, Paul says, without ceasing. Pray continually. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute, brethren. Prayer was not to be limited to a prescribed hour, but should rather be a common and constant element of a daily life. Just common and constant. Here's what praise and pray without ceasing means. It doesn't mean, brethren, that I'm walking around everywhere and everywhere I go mumbling to myself. That's not what that means. Here it is what it means. It means to pray without ceasing is to picture a person, brethren, with an intermittent cough. You're not coughing all day long, but there's just that tickle in the back of your throat that every once in a while, it makes you, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not coughing all day, brethren, but a cough can come up at any minute. You're not praying all day, but if you need it, it's right in the back of your throat. You're not praising all day, but when God lets something come your way, a praise just jumps right out. Am I right? And it's right in the back of your throat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right? It's always in the back of your throat. Likewise, just like praise and prayer, it's like an intermittent cough in the back of your throat. There are some things that can give you some cough suppressant. Pride is a cough suppressant. Hatred, brethren, is a cough suppressant. Judgmental spirits is a cough suppressant. Envy is a cough suppressant. Lust is a cough suppressant. God wants to get a praise out of you, but he's got to get some other stuff out of you. Amen. Am I right? Is there anybody here know that your praise has been perfected because of what you've been through? Huh? I need about two or three Christians, brethren, here whose praise have been perfected by the storms that you've been through. Huh? See, brethren, by just the mess you had yourself in, by the mess that God has got you out of, and then by the mess that God kept you from getting in. Listen to me, brethren. You're not so good and righteous, and God is keeping you because you're so righteous. You're not, brethren. The only reason you haven't stepped in it yet is because of God's mercy. Huh? That's the only reason, brethren. You're not here praising because you got it all together, brethren. You're not here praising because everything is coming up roses. You just know that any minute a praise can come up. Listen, if it's real, it will happen in the car. Am I right? It will happen at the restaurant. It will happen sitting in the house by yourself. It doesn't just have to be on Sunday morning. You just go look in your closet and see how good God has blessed you. And that's enough for, thank you, Jesus. Am I right about it? Amen, brethren. Just take you get behind the wheel of your car and remember you used not have one. And thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. See, you come to church where people will hug you and love you and remember that you used to be by yourself, but now you're not by yourself. You got folk that love you. And thank you, Jesus. I like this side over here. I'm going to preach over here. Yeah. God put food on your table. Amen. It may not be the best, but thank you, Jesus. Am I right about it, somebody? You know, you got food in your pantry, brethren, and you're going buy food that you don't even need food. You come home and you look in your pantry and you see all the food you still got, and you just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being good to me. Am I right about it? Is there anybody, brother, here that has a praise in the back of your throat? See, brother, we get so sophisticated as Christians. We forget how good God's been to us. Just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Drive to Muskogee or Fort Gibson or Fort Smith and see all that water. And you thank you, Jesus. My house is not inundated with water. See what I'm saying? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And finally, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, brethren, thankfulness is the opposite of complaining. I could complain, but I won't. I used to complain, but I won't. I need to complain, but I won't. Because when I put my blessings, brethren, on the side of my complaints, the balance of the scales are tilted always in my direction. My blessings far outweigh my complaints. Oh, I wish I had a church. Y'all see, brethren? We don't even know how to do it. Because we think it's supposed to be like that. No, it's because God is good. In everything, give thanks. Brother, let me tell y'all something. The Israelites had more to be thankful for than any peoples in the Bible. Yet they were guilty, church, of doing the most complaining like no other nation in Scripture. The Israelites, brother, they watched God move on their behalf. And I'm not talking about, church, what they heard. Am I right? I'm not talking about that second generation that was in the promised land. I'm talking about that generation that left Egypt. If anybody should have been praising God, it should have been that crowd. Because, brethren, they saw God work miracles. They saw God open the Red Sea, and he loved them so much, brethren, that he wouldn't even let them get their feet muddy. Brethren, they went over on dry ground, and the enemies that were tracking them, when they got in the midst of the sea, the same sea that opened for Israel closed on the Egyptians, brethren, and the dead bodies of Pharaoh's army washed upon the seashore. And brethren, Miriam, Moses' sister, got a tambourine, and she began to sing the song, God is a man of war. He's fought many battles. He's never lost one. And Jehovah is his name. They saw that, brethren. And then when they got hungry, God rained food down. He gave them, what is it? You've been studying your Bible. It's manna. That's what manna means. What is it? He gave them manna, bread from heaven, brethren. They saw that, and then they started complaining that it wasn't any meat with the bread. Amen, brethren. And God sent them quail. Brethren, a delicacy that's in restaurants right now to eat with their manna. And then they didn't have nothing to wash it down with. And God told Moses, Moses, speak to the rock and sweet water flow from the rock. They saw that, church. Their sandals would not wear out. They wore the same clothes for 40 years. 40 years wore the same clothes and they would not wear out, brethren. And if anybody should have been praising God, it was the children of Israel should have been praising. But let's not be too hard on Israel, because we as a people have been blessed, church. I'm grateful because God has brought me out. He made a way out of no way. He did some things to me that I didn't even ask him for. Amen, brethren. He didn't even ask him for it, brethren. So I'm going to come here every time I get a chance, and I'm going to rejoice over his goodness, church. I'm going to rejoice over it every time. I'm going to shout, brethren, over his blessings. God is a good God. God is a merciful God. God is a faithful God. God is worthy to be praised, brethren. If I praise him by myself, brethren, if I'm the only one in my pew, if I'm the only one in my section, I'm going to lift up my voice, because I'm going to rejoice forevermore, because I don't know when trouble is going to come my way. Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't know when it's going to come my way, brethren. So I've got to always have something in the back of my throat.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been a mother for me. You've been a father for me. You've been a brother and a sister for me, brethren. Anybody here know God has been keeping you? Amen. If the Lord has made a way for you right now, wouldn't it be a time to catch up on your praise? No, y'all don't hear me.
You
put food on my table. You put clothes on my back. I've got somewhere to sleep tonight. I got family and friends. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It ain't all been roses and sunshine, but thank you, Jesus. Why don't you encourage somebody, brethren? Tell them, rejoice always. I know you may not have it like you want it, but God is good. Tell them, pray without ceasing. Tell them in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody in here this morning who knows what I'm talking about, brethren? He's a rock in a weary land. Am I right? He's a shelter in a time of storms. He's a friend when you're friendless. He's bread when you're hungry, brethren. He died. Didn't he die? Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he got up. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all missed that one. It's just in the back of your throat. Come up anytime. Anytime. Give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in everything. Not for everything, but the word in means in the midst of everything. While you're surrounded by everything, give thanks. Brothers and sisters, here's the shout. You can shout your way through any problem. God, you haven't made a way yet, but I believe you can. God, you haven't opened the door yet, but I'm still knocking. God, you haven't done it yet, but that doesn't mean you're not going to do it. Because you may not come when I want you to, Lord. But if my heart is right, if I rejoice always and I pray without ceasing and everything, give thanks. Thank you. I'm just clearing my voice. That's all right. I'm just, y'all good. Thank you, Lord. It's always got the possibility to come up, church. Thank you. And sometimes I do it at the wrong place. Sometimes, brethren, I do it at the wrong time. And people think I'm inappropriate, church, but you don't know what the Lord has brought me through. You don't know how many storms God has quieted, brethren, for me. You don't know how many tears that God has dried for me. I dare you not let me get it out. Because sometimes, church, Sunday morning ain't enough time for me to get it out. I need some time to get it out. I have to get in my car sometimes. I've got to get to the house, and I got to get where I can get comfortable and tell God, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And not just what he's done for me, but who he is to me. Church, he's my savior. He's my stronghold. He's my refuge, brethren, and my strength, and my very present help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's why I come. I don't come here to preach you all. I preach, but that ain't why I come. I come to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing somebody like me to proclaim your word. Because nobody but God and me know. Where he's brought me from. So, brother, don't let this just be routine. Be excited. Every Lord's Day. Every opportunity. Nothing you have belongs to you. Nothing. Nada. Not one iota. It all comes from the Lord. And he didn't bless you with it because you've been so good. But because he's a good God. So we're going to extend an invitation. And I want everybody, brethren, you leave out of this place this morning. If you got one of those old rotten, sour attitudes, you need to get rid of it. Because it's only by God's grace that he allowed you to wake up this morning. And for everyone who does not come in here and is not rejoicing because you're here, just do this. Do me just one favor. You may not act like it. You may not shout it, but just smile. And I know you got it. Y'all are tough. I'm telling y'all, y'all are tough. Y'all are tough. That's why when I go home sometimes, preach, preacher. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, ain't he good? And then when I come back home, Lord, you are so good. Thank you, Jesus, for being good to us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You made each and every one of us. We know, Father, we know we don't deserve to be called your children. We know that, God, we don't deserve to have a home in heaven waiting for us. We know that, God, we ought to be in hell. But thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. If you're here this morning, we can help you with anything. If you're not a child of God, he wants you to come to him. Come to him broke, with a contrite spirit. And know it's only because of his mercy, his grace, that God sent his son. As Brother Bob mentioned on the Devo, God emptied himself to come to